Welcome to today's deep dive. We are unpacking a pretty specific, sensitive document today from the Western Cape Government's Department of Social Development, or DSD.
Right, the DSD.
Yeah, and it details a diversion program called I Am Me. It's basically a therapeutic intervention designed for juvenile sexual offenders.
Yeah.
But, we aren't looking at adults or even teenagers here.
No, the target demographic is children as young as, what, 10 to 12 years old?
Exactly, 10 to 12. So our mission today for you listening is really to understand how this early intervention attempts to, I guess, fundamentally rewrite a child's trajectory before it's completely locked in.
It is a sobering shift in perspective, I mean, when you really think about it. At 10 years old, a child's psychological development is just so incredibly malleable.
Yeah, they're right in that critical window.
Exactly. You are dealing with individuals who are in this highly formative stage, which is honestly why the stated objective of this program is so uniquely compelling.
Right, because the explicit goal in the text, it isn't just some generic mandate to, stop committing offenses.
Yeah.
It specifically states the purpose is to break the cycle of deviant thoughts and sexual behavior so the participants can actually become children again. Like, that's a direct
Yeah,
quote.
become children again.
Yeah.
It explicitly acknowledges that these kids have been exposed to something highly damaging, something very adult.
It's almost like trying to hit a factory reset on a corrupted device.
Yeah.
Like, you want to eradicate that negative exposure and replace it with just the simple contentment of being a child.
I really like that analogy, but bringing them back to that age-appropriate behavior, it requires a very serious clinical backbone. This isn't casual. The entire process is facilitated strictly by professionals, so either a probation officer or a social worker.
Okay, so the methodology they use, it's rooted in cognitive behavioral interventions, right? Grounded in the principles of risk, needs, and responsibility.
Yes, the RNR model. It means they assess how high risk the child is, target their specific psychological needs, and then deliver the intervention in a way the child is actually responsive to.
But wait, saying you want a 10-year-old to unlearn negative exposure is easy. How do you actually teach heavy concepts like victimization and personal violence to a fifth grader without just totally overwhelming them?
Well, you can't just sit a 10-year-old in a lecture hall, right? So they translate those heavy concepts through play therapy.
Oh, wow, play therapy. I mean, I read that section, but I honestly struggled to see how playing with clay or painting actually establishes boundaries for a kid who committed a serious offense.
It comes down to how a child's brain processes trauma. A 10-year-old's prefrontal cortex, that's the part responsible for complex logic, it just isn't fully developed yet.
Right, of course.
They process heavy trauma much better through tactile play than verbal communication.
Oh, but so talking it out doesn't really work.
Not usually, no. By using games, toys, clay, drawings, the facilitators create the scenario where the child can act out their understanding of right and wrong, or personal hygiene, or relationships in a very visible, constructive way.
Okay, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
But how does the government actually guarantee this delicate process works? You can't just hand a kid some toys for a few weeks and consider them rehabilitated.
No, absolutely not. The structure forces accountability. They mandate very tight group sizes, specifically just 6 to 8
Wait,
participants.
only 6 to 8? Is that just a resource limitation?
No, it's a clinical necessity, and it runs anywhere from a minimum of 3 months up to a full year. You see, in larger settings, traumatized children tend to mask their behaviors or withdraw.
Right, they just sort of hide in the back.
Exactly. A small, intimate group forces them to interact dynamically, which lets the social workers spot cognitive distortions or problematic behavior in real time.
And they measure that progress constantly, right?
Right.
I saw they use pre and post personal assessments to map growth, plus program and facilitator assessments to guarantee the clinical standard is actually being met.
Yes. And they also use the specific DSD tracking tool. It's incredibly strict monitoring to track the child's long-term progress.
It really highlights the profound difference between simply managing an adult in the penal system and doing the agonizingly hard work of guiding a lost child back to a safe path.
It really does.
When you look at the entirety of the IME program, it presents this fascinating model of justice, catching and redirecting harmful behaviors at that exact developmental window where a child's mind can still change course.
Yeah, the scope of the work is immense.
It is, which leaves you with this lingering, pretty provocative thought to mull over on your own. Since the curriculum explicitly pairs heavy topics like understanding wrong and right with teaching dreams and coping skills, what does it truly take for a child to unlearn their negative exposure well enough to safely dream about their future again?